Ramsey TV.
You say you want me to do the hard verse first. The one that everybody thinks proves that the body of Christ has to do law. Romans 3:31. Yeah, no, that's not a hard verse. Yes, I know, I'm getting harped on about it. Why don't you explain Romans 3:31? Are you scared of it, Martin Zander? Are you scared of Romans 3:31? Is that why you don't want to go there? You pray, you're afraid it might disprove your crazy theories that were justified apart from works of law. No, not really. In fact, I'm going to go to it right now at the beginning of this extra show. Extra show this week because I left you hanging yesterday. I don't want to have you to wait through the week. What if I don't even get to the video today? My promise to you is that I am going to play a video for you, show you the video, play the audio from Thomas Kissinger. This whole thing of, and you've heard it in the churches you grew up in, I'm sure you've heard it, even maybe in the body of Christ. Some in the body of Christ are saying this, that justification by faith is nice. It's necessary, yes, but you must go on. The next step is sanctification. Oh, what's the next step? You have to, what do you mean have to be? What's sanctification? You have to become holy. You have to begin a program of holiness because holiness is a process according to these people. Don't worry, folks. Holiness is not a process. It's a declaration of God. It means separated to God. He declares it to be so. And Paul calls the Corinthians, for instance, 1 Corinthians, all the saints in Corinth. A saint is a holy one. A saint is someone who has been holyized, that is, sanctified. It's all the same root word, hagion, in the Greek. And I remind you, at the time, the Corinthians were a hot mess. Paul still calls them saints. Why? Because they're separate unto God for his use. Now, Paul might go on and say, act like somebody who is holy. Yeah, that's a different thing, isn't it now? Paul says, you're separated unto God. You're all these great things. You're justified, seated among the celestials with Christ. Now, how about acting like it? That's one thing. That's one thing. At least that acknowledges that God has already done something, that you're complete in Christ, that justification by faith and being given the righteousness of God, having God declare you righteous through the faith of Christ, at least from that teaching, we know that's established. And then one having that in one's mind, that it's a complete deal, it affects one to bring one's walk in line with the truth. But to say that all that is not enough, that being declared righteous by God is not enough, that justification by faith is not enough, and that this holiness thing is a process that you need to do, and unless you do it, you will hear those dreaded words, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness, which is what Kissinger says, and it's what Thomas Jones says. Well, that's a whole different matter, isn't it now? What if I don't even get to the video today? Ooh, then I have to do an extra show tomorrow. You might not mind that. Romans 3:31. You see, if you isolate Romans 3:31, you're dead. This is why I started yesterday's show by saying the one thing you have to keep in your mind always is that law never came to the nations. The nations were never under law. Paul sure as hell isn't bringing them under law because the law is a dispensation of death, 2 Corinthians 3. It's a dispensation of condemnation. Hey, who wants to join up a dispensation of death and condemnation? Why in hell would Paul bring non-Israelites into a dispensation of condemnation and death, i.e. the law of Moses? He wouldn't, and he doesn't. So Martin, explain this verse to me. Paul says in verse 30 of Romans 3, now let's start with verse 29. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not of the nations also? Yes, of the nations also. If so be that God is one, who will be justifying the circumcision out of faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Here's the money sentence right here. are we then nullifying law through faith? Paul says, may it not be coming to that. No, we are sustaining law. Oh, there it is. We're sustaining law. That gives us an excuse to do law. See? We're somewhat law keepers. We're somewhat associated with the law. Paul's writing to the Romans, says, law is not done away with. No, we're sustaining the law. If you don't know that the nations did not come under law ever, Paul did not bring them under law, unless you're establishing that, which you should be if you've read the rest of the beginning of Romans 3. I mean, the only way you can get the wrong idea is if you read this verse isolated without going to Romans 3, start with Romans 1, that'd be great, and get established in certain truths. For instance, let's go to verse 19. I'll explain that verse. Don't worry. Let's go to verse 19 of Romans 3. Now, we are aware that whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law, which doesn't include the nations. Thank you very much. That every mouth may be barred and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God. Because by works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight. For through law is the recognition of sin. Follow me here. Whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law, i.e. Jews, Israel types only. It is speaking to those under the law that every mouth may be barred. How could one nation coming under the law bar every mouth? Because they were the guinea pig nation, if you will, that God used, poor people, they were used, just like Judas was used, that God used to prove that flesh and blood is not able to do the dictates of God. Because otherwise humanity will say over and over again, well, if you had just given us a list of instructions, if you had just given us a list of instructions, we could have done it. God says, okay, I'll give you a list of instructions. Here they are. And then Israel at the base of Mount Sinai said, oh, that the Lord has said, we will do. Oh, yeah? Okay. Go ahead. Well, we know what happened. That's the object lesson of law. And also through law is the recognition of sin. And if you keep reading in Romans, you get to chapter 7 and say, and here Paul's saying, I was not aware of coveting unless the law said, until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And the commandment, sin, getting an incentive through the precept, the law, produces in me all manner of coveting. So the law not only is the recognition of sin, but it produces sin. It produces in human beings. In human beings. Paul's careful to point out in Romans 7 that the law itself is not sin. And now we're going to get to Romans 3:31, but I'm setting the stage here because you can't just isolate this verse. It says law is established. And another thing, it doesn't say established. In the King James Version, it does. But of course, Thomas Kissinger and Alan Hess, for some unaccountable reason, and Stephen Jones, they all use the King James Version. Why? I don't know. Maybe they like the thys and the thous. Maybe they like the shouts and the shout. I know they like the shouts and the shout nots. They love the shouts and the shout nots. Excuse me, sir. What's your favorite Paul to the King James Version? Oh, I like the shouts. And you, sir, how about you? Oh, I prefer the shout not. That's my favorite part. Go for it. But why would you, when the guinea pig nation has already shown that by works of law no flesh at all shall be justified? I can't figure it out. Except people love it. They haven't gotten the message. It's still in their head. They want to perform for God so badly. They want to distinguish themselves from other people so badly that they will reach and stretch and try to make the law apply to them. And that's what they're trying to do with Romans 3:31. It is a desperate attempt to make law apply to you. I would think that anybody who had lived under law would make a desperate attempt to get the hell out of law. Wouldn't that be the desperate attempt? How do we get out of this? How do we get out of this? We can't do it. We fail and fail and fail. How do we get out of this? That's the normal reaction. And the answer to that, the remedy, was the new covenant. Jesus Christ is going to come put his law on your hearts. Don't worry about it. But today we have a phenomenon of people saying, how do we get into this? I want to get into this. This is a great deal. A dispensation of condemnation and death is a great deal. Failing in one aspect of the law, meaning failing in every aspect of the law, failing the whole law, that's a good deal. Yeah, how do I get in on that? Can we use Romans 3:31? Paul says it. That must mean the law's for the body of Christ. Please tell me the law's for the body of Christ. What are you, nuts? Okay, here we go. So that's the purpose of law. And then Paul says these beautiful words in verse 21 of Romans 3, yet now apart from law. Listen very carefully. Yet now apart from law. Apart from law. Okay, let me explain this. Apart from law. That's like law is over here and you're over here. Apart from law. It's like continents are apart from each other. It's like apart. It means you cut something in half, you take one half over here, the other half over there. I mean, it's just distant. It's not part of it. It's apart from it. It's not part of it. A part. A not part belonging to. Not belonging to. Sometimes these words need to be extrapolated. Like a file folder. You click on it, you double click, here it comes. You get another subdivision, subfolder, boom, 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 boom. Okay, it's not part of it. A righteousness of God is manifest, being attested by the law and the prophets. Attested by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets spoke of law. They spoke of a day where there'd be a new covenant that would make up for the fact that no flesh at all can boast in God's sight by doing law. The law also attests that everyone is a sinner and no one is righteous, no, not one. We needed the law for that. Because the law is righteous. We needed the law to find out that there's no one righteous, no, not one, because no one can do law. We needed it. That's a vital part of the law. So a righteousness of God is manifest, being attested by the law and the prophets, yet, that means we're going away from the law, yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. Talk about something that's apart from law. Jesus Christ's faith is apart from law. And it's his faith that saves, not ours. You know that. It's for all and on all who are believing, for there is no distinction, for all sin and are wanting of the glory of God. That's good to know. Now let's go to verse 24, Romans chapter 3, being justified gratuitously. Does anyone know what gratuitously means? It means freely. It means that there's no reason for it. There's no reason in yourself, in your circle, that you should be declared righteous. That's what justified means. Justified. Just is right. Right margin justification on your word processing program. What does it do? It brings everything in alignment to a standard. That's what justification is. And it's gratuitous. Like, how the hell did this happen? It came from above. It was a divine work. It came through Jesus Christ's faith. It's free, it's gracious, it's gratuitous. And the result is, I haven't gone here, but you can go to Colossians 2:10. You are complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. You don't believe me? Somebody doesn't believe me? All right. It's so hard to page through because I got a mess here. My scripture's been worn out from use. 2:10. You are complete in him who is the head of every sovereignty and authority, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands. You are circumcised, that is, your flesh was cut off with a new kind of circumcision not made by hands. What was it made by? It was made by Christ dying on the cross and killing the old humanity. Let's read this again. And you are complete in him who is the head of every sovereignty and authority, in whom you were circumcised also with a circumcision not made by hands, in the stripping off of the body of flesh, there it is, in the circumcision of Christ, being entombed together with him in baptism, in whom you were roused together also through faith in the operation of God, who rouses him from among the dead, you also being dead to the offenses and the uncircumcision. Dead to them. That's what I told you yesterday. We're dead to our offenses. In order to be dead to your offenses, you have to have offenses. How can you be dead to something that doesn't exist? We're dead to the offenses. We're not dead in our offenses. We're dead in Christ, and we're roused with Christ. We're dead to our offenses. Vital truth. I hardly hear anybody teaching about this. It's a major truth. That's the whole premise of the book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette, by yours truly. You're complete in him who is the head of every sovereignty. The head of every sovereignty is the one who states that you are complete in him. I mean, I could go on. This is a magnificent passage of Scripture, but let me ask you this, and I'll get to Romans 3:31, and I can tell I'm not going to get to the video today. Can you believe it? This is so interesting to me. This whole passage, this whole idea, this whole theory, this whole anathema teaching, this destroyed teaching that we must continue on. It is amazing that it is a repeat of Galatians chapter 1. Don't these people read Galatians? And they, if they did, with any illumination, they would find out that this is exactly what the circumcisionists were trying to do. Because Paul, in chapter 2, is it, having begun in spirit, are you now being perfected in flesh? So the circumcisionists weren't telling the Galatians that they didn't start in spirit. That was part of the seduction. That was part of the evil of it, is that it sounds right. Oh, you started in spirit, yes, but they thought that they were going to have to complete it in flesh. That is exactly what Thomas Kissinger is saying, as you're going to hear tomorrow. I'm sorry, tomorrow. Seven days of shows this week. Look at it that way. That's exactly what he's saying, that you have to complete yourself in flesh. And if you don't do it, then Jesus will say to you, depart from me. You can't believe it, but he actually says that. Jesus will say to people who have been declared righteous by God, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. You can't believe it, but I'm gonna show you. So if somebody's completing, what can you add to completion? What do you add to completion? Reminds me of Ephesians 1, first four verses there, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Yeah, but I want another one. Can I get another one? No, you're already blessed with every spiritual blessing. Are you sure there's not another one I can strive for? No, there's not. You're complete in Christ. But there's got to be something I can add to that. Can I get on some kind of sanctification process? No, you can't. Unless you're... I can't say. I was going to say unless you're a spiritual moron, but that's a little rough, so I'm not going to say that, because it seems spiritual to work. It's so hard to believe Paul's gospel. It comes down to that. It's hard to believe it, that it's that gratuitous, that it's that complete apart from anything we've done. It's hard to believe, especially when you got remnants of the law in your head, especially when you see the glory of Israel and you see all those priestly vestments. My God, look at the clothes they wear. So fancy. And then you look at the temple, and the disciples point out the temple to you. Look at this giant edifice. What do you think it is? Well, I think it's going to be destroyed in 70 AD by the armies of Titus of Rome. But it's so attractive, the scents, the altar of incense, the altar of sacrifice, the blood, the all the sheep and goats, the turtle doves. It's so magnificent. And you want to be a part of it, the glory of Israel, Shekinah glory in between the wings of the cherubim, sounding something like this. My guess, I don't know, was never there. It's so tempting. So you have the remnant of all this Israel talk in your head, and you're saturated with it because most of the Bible is the Old Testament. Most of the Bible is the Old Testament. And you read through the Bible. I don't recommend reading through the Old Testament because of this problem. You get all this Israel stuff in your head. Then you get to Paul and you can't shake the Israel stuff. You can't shake it. Can't shake it. There's got to be something. After all the Israelites had to do, bring their sacrifices to Jerusalem, observe all the feasts, the Ten Commandments, the entire, all 613 rules of the law, you can hardly believe it. And so to prove to you how hard it is for people to believe it, they will read. Get this. They will read Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Now, apart from works of law, righteousness of God is manifest. They will read verse 20. By works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified. And yet, by the time they get to Romans 3:31, we are establishing law. They are within, how many verses is that? 11 verses. Within 11 verses, they've already lost it. They've already lost what was just said. Okay, so now let me, now with that preamble, let us go to verse 30 again of Romans chapter 3. Or is he the God of the Jews also? Is he not of the nations also? Yes, of the nations also, if so be that God is one, who will be justifying the circumcision out of faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Meaning the circumcision believers came out of their faith into the new faith of the body of Christ. They lost their national advantage. As Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ, in that there's no one nationality above another one in the body of Christ. In the circumcision evangel, damn straight, there's a national difference. 12 thrones, yeah, come on. There's a national, and the priesthood, royal priesthood, of course there's a national difference in Peter's gospel and Paul's, no. So the circumcision are justified out of faith. They have to come out of their faith. And the nations through faith, this is the only faith the nations have ever known, unless they dabble in the law, or unless they're minding their own business one day and the circumcisionists come in. Psst, psst, hey buddy, don't you want to get on a sanctification program? That's the next step, come on. But wait, but Paul said we're justified by faith, and God's reckoning his righteousness to us. Oh, yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice. Of course it's important, but this is the next step. The process of sanctification. You need to become holy. You need to overcome, or you're not going to eat of the tree of life. Not eat of the tree of life? Paul, where's Paul? Here comes Paul. They said, what? What do you want to eat of the tree of life for? You're seated among the celestials in Christ. The tree of life is on a new earth. You're in heaven. The new earth comes down from heaven, and that's where the tree of life is. Why would you want a downgrade? And Paul goes crazy, calls his scribe. Tertius starts pacing the room. Like, what the? Are we then nullifying law through faith? In other words, now that this new evangel has come to the nations through faith, the temptation is to think that law is done. There is no more law, period. It's not that there's law for us, or there could be law for us, or there was law for us, because it never was the issue. There was never law for the nations. But the nations will be tempted to think, well, law itself is exploded, blown up. Why are we even talking about it? Why are the Jews, why is Peter over there still talking about it? Why is James still talking about it? The law is finished. Just like a member of the nations would think that Israel was finished. Same thing. Romans 11, they think that because we're, this is the nation speaking, because we're the head, because we're now on the front, but everything God's done with Israel. See, they would be tempted to think the same thing about law. Well, since we're on the front burner and justified gratuitously in the faith of Christ, being declared righteous by God through faith, well then, the law, there is no such thing as law anymore. Paul says, what the hell? May it not be coming to that? That's the Martin Zender paraphrases, what the hell? Nay, we are sustaining law. That's the word in the Concordant version. Why these people use the King James version when it's been convicted of containing over 20,000 translating errors, I don't know. We're sustaining what? What are we sustaining? How do you read that in light of what you've just read 10 verses before? It's the purpose of law to expose sin, the purpose of law, to show the perfect righteousness of God. That is what's being sustained. The fact that law becomes the template by which all humanity is measured and no one is righteous, no, not one. The law doesn't go away. They're thinking that the law has gone away in toto. It hasn't gone away at all. It's still there. It doesn't apply to them. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden Paul's saying we're justified apart from works of law. By works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified. And now 10 verses later, he's saying, by the way, we're establishing law for you people. We're establishing law. Come on. We're sustaining. Law is sustained. The purpose of it is sustained. It doesn't mean now you do it. It just means that as a device of God that exhibits the failure of human flesh and exhibits his own righteousness, that's not going away. Just because you are justified gratuitously, you think God's going to blow up his perfect, his blueprint of perfect righteousness? No. No, he's not. The purpose of law is sustained in all these areas. That was the hard verse.